Morning, Sam. How are you?
Pretty good. You don't?
Oh, I don't feel good. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Please excuse my cold. Before we begin the regular part of the meeting, we ask the question of this audience and the people who watch it on television is the question, how are the children? Reason we ask that question is we know that when children in a community are taken care of, the community is a better community. We have folks come in and talk with us. And this morning we have three Jefferson High School folks coming in as part of the REAP program. And there's also a total of about 10 youth in attendance. So is it Cherie? Cherie, Naisha, and Layla? Layla, excuse me. Could you come forward? Thanks for being here this morning. And when you speak, if you just state your name for the record. So anybody can start.
All right. My name is Layla Viella, and I am a senior at Jefferson. And we are here today to invite you to come to our conference on Friday the 18th at Jefferson High School. Well, basically, we are going to be holding a conference to show you what's going on inside of Jeff, so you can see who the people are, the students, the teachers, and what we do, and just get a little more, just a little bit more knowledge of what's going on inside of the school, and to show you how we want to rise and we don't want to be going through so many changes anymore.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Cherie Bull, and I'm a sophomore at Jefferson High School. And the reason why, personally, I would invite you to the conference is because I want you to see how Jefferson is growing and developing as a student body, and also as in the community. And also, it'll be good for you to come because all the media, I believe the media is saying a lot of false things about Jefferson, and for you to come to see through your own eyes, and you will see what the real truth is. So that's why I would invite you to the conference. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Naisha Sims, and I'm a junior at Jefferson High School, and I am also inviting you to the REAP conference on May 18th, on Friday. And I would like you to come just to show your support to Jefferson, because we are growing and we are trying to develop, and we are an outstanding school, and we stand in academics and in sports, and we would like to rise up in our academics and show, instead of being like the guinea pig of the situation and always getting tested on, we want to stay where we're at and see how that develops. And I just want to invite you guys to, you guys can show up and actually be a part of Jefferson High School and see the real deal.
Well, I appreciate that. I will be out of town on May 18th. Is there a later date that you would have another conference? But I will not be available. But I could send someone from my staff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That'll work out.
So okay. It goes from 8 until 3:15?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People can just drop in? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah, if you want.
Make it over there.
I'm glad you folks are doing that. I think it's really important that the larger community understand what's really going on at Jefferson and what a great school and what great students there are there. I think you folks exemplify that. Are there other students from Jefferson? Would you folks stand up as well? There we go. Let's give these folks a hand. I think they're doing a great job. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. City Council will come to order. Sue, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Sten. Potter.
Here.
I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the first communications.
Item 526, request of William Wheeler to address council regarding American Property Management June 30 deadline for Section 8 tenants. Mr. Wheeler, come up.
Mayor, City Council, Leonard Adams, Saltzman. It is an honor to address you here. You people have shown great transparency and better government and better interaction with the city citizens since I remember from the 70s. So I appreciate your fine work. American Property Management and Portland Housing Authority. Oh, excuse me, for the record, my name is William Wheeler. I reside at 4923 Southeast Sherman. Has gotten into a bit of a tiff. American Property Management, that I know of but haven't totally confirmed, has somewhere around 400 people who are Section 8. They raised the rent about three times, as in $50 a month, last December, which is about three times the CPI. American Property Management told Housing Authority, from what I gather, Housing Authority issued letters going, hey, we can't do that, that's too high. And then earlier this month, or actually late April, American Property Management notified all the people that I'm aware of, I know about 50 people in this, who they said, you're going to be out by the 30th of June. Housing Authority said, we can't handle processing that fast. We need more time. It's being worked on. I estimate 50 social workers at an hour a day for eight clients is 2,500 hours just on this little situation. On top of that, can the safety net do another 400 people all at once? Some of these people have been in their housing for years. So maybe it'd be a good idea for the council to at least think about a reporting, this is just an idea of mine, a reporting requirement where anybody who has over 25 Section 8 people under their tenancy, that they inform the city council if a policy change happens and they're going to get rid of all of them. Not a requirement they keep, but just a reporting requirement when they do a policy change, so that the safety net can go, oh, we have 100 people we need to process in 2 months, rather than this all of a sudden multi-hundred people. I don't know if that'll work, but that was my idea. I appreciate being able to address the council. I appreciate the council's commitment to housing in this city. It is a breath of fresh air. I deeply appreciate your service. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you.
I've contacted Commissioner Sten's office.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Please read the next.
Item 527, request of Carl Cromie to address council regarding Water Bureau, and he is unable to make it today.
Okay.
528, request of James B. Lee to address council regarding enumerated powers and council.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is James Lee. I reside on Southeast Mitchell Street. Thank you for hearing me today. with respect to specifically the Measure 2691, I want to say that the mayor deserves great credit for bringing these important issues before the voters. I am a strong proponent of charter review. However, I come at it from a slightly different position. My main concern was not the chief topic during the discussion of 2691, but rather the enumerated powers, which everyone seems to have forgotten. The enumerated powers are basically what we do. The form of government is how we do it. I think it was a serious mistake on the part of the Charter Review Commission to put these both on the same ballot measure. And logically, I think what we should do is have a separate election on revised and enumerated powers, which, after all, are really in pretty terrible shape. For example, there is the clearly unconstitutional censorship provision. There is a provision which does not acknowledge the preemption by the Oregon Lottery for gambling in the city, and so on. In fact, I was quite surprised to see the things that aren't in there. For example, police department is adequately supported, but I don't see anything on the fire department or emergency services. And there really isn't anything on things like zoning and planning and so on and so forth. So I took a first hack at this with the document you have before you. I've compacted the 65 enumerated powers to 25. The important things, such as bonding authority, are still in there. I've divided these into five general areas, but I've retained the numbers in the existing charter for ease of cross-reference. I think it's important that we keep on this subject that the mayor has quite properly raised, and I would look forward to participating in any action that is taken on resolving this question of the enumerated powers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Number 529, request of Sandy Boardman to address council regarding the Bureau of Human Resources.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Sandy Boardman. Before I begin my remarks, I'd like to acknowledge the support of my friends at the City of Portland today and over the last several years. I began working for the city in 1976 when I was 18 years old. During my career with the city, I've held numerous positions, rising from a clerk in the Bureau of Planning to a management position in PDOT. I love Portland and count amongst my closest friends people who work or have worked for the city. For many years, I was the proudest of city employees, but all that has changed over the last 3 years, and I am now leaving my city position to seek employment elsewhere. I hope that my story will give you some new insights into the current city organization and encourage you to examine the treatment non-represented employees now receive in what has become a climate of fear and intimidation. Many are paralyzed by the fear of making a mistake or breaking a rule, even if caused by the best of intentions, and being severely disciplined or fired as a result. This is both unproductive and just wrong. My own issue began 4 years ago in May of 2003, when another PDOT employee and her supervisor came to me with a private personal problem and asked for my help. I agreed to help her. Sometime later, the same employee apparently regretted her actions and made allegations against me and others, and in summary, she contended that she had been coerced into her personal actions by me and another employee. After a 6-month exhaustive, adversarial, one-sided investigation, the Bureau of Human Resources produced their conclusions. Contrary to the progressive discipline process for represented employees, I was not given a verbal warning, a letter of reprimand, or even a suspension. Instead, the Bureau of Human Resources recommended a 3-step demotion and removed me from management. Since I was in a non-represented position, my only recourse for review of that decision was to appeal to the Civil Service Board and to hire my own representation. After considerable legal work and many delays, the hearings were finally conducted in October 2005, almost 2 years after the original allegations. Because of the expense of representation, over $20,000, and the emotional toll on me and my family, I decided not to pursue any further legal action. I thought I had learned an expensive but valuable lesson and was prepared to put the whole issue behind me. I also expected that the matter would remain tightly controlled within the city organization because personal records are confidential by city code, but I was wrong. 6 months later, I was shocked to get a call from an Oregonian reporter telling me that she had obtained information from my personnel file from my accuser about the issue and the discipline I received. Astonishingly, the article appeared soon after on the front page of the Sunday Oregonian. I made every effort to find out how the confidential records were released. I requested the assistance and involvement of PDOT management. I expected this matter would be taken seriously and waited for an explanation. When I didn't hear anything from PDOT management or the Bureau of Human Resources, I once again hired an attorney. Only after a letter was sent to the city attorney's office did I get a response. It said, quote, Ms. Deckard has informed city attorney.
Ms. Boardman, you over-exceeded your time already.
Okay.
And I notice you have a very long report here.
Yes.
We will. She's not almost done. She's less than halfway through.
Those are longer remarks. I shortened them.
Could you? Thank you.
Yes. Can I have like one more minute? Is that okay?
One minute.
Okay. That the Bureau of Human Resources has not been able to determine how the disciplinary record was obtained by your accuser. The way this whole matter was handled should be of great concern to the entire city council. City employees deserve to be treated fairly and with respect. In my particular case, the Bureau of Human Resources did neither. I hope my testimony today will encourage you to ask these questions. Would the council benefit from asking the city auditor to conduct a performance audit in the Bureau of Human Resources? How can city employees be assured that human resources will protect the rights of all employees, not just those they identify with or subjectively view as the victim? Does the Civil Service Board have adequate authority, autonomy, and resources to do their job of reviewing personnel decisions? Do the principles of progressive discipline not apply to non-represented employees? Did the punishment of 3-grade demotion really fit the final discipline decision made by the Civil Service Board? Who is responsible for leaking my personnel file, and how can the council ensure that other employees' files won't be leaked in the future? And should I be reimbursed for attorney's fees paid to protect myself and to keep this issue confidential, only to have the details of the disciplinary action leaked anyway? Throughout all of this, I still believe in public service and the caring and talented people I've been fortunate enough to work with and call my friends. I also believe that you will give serious consideration to my comments and concerns. I thank you for your time.
Are you getting responses to this?
Folks, if you wish to express, you can wave your hands like that, but no clapping, please. Thank you. Please call the next.
And we will be to the consent agenda now.
Okay. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Does any member of the audience wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time, sir.
Item 5:30, council to convene as budget committee to approve a budget.
The council is now convening as the budget committee for purpose of approving the budget. I'd like to open a hearing to discuss possible uses of state revenue sharing. This hearing is being held by the City Council of Portland, Oregon, in compliance with the provisions of the State Revenue Sharing Regulation, ORS 221.770. It is to allow citizens to comment on the possible use of these funds in conjunction with the annual budget process. As proposed for council adoption, the FY 2007-2008 budget anticipates receipts totaling $4,328,287 from state revenue sharing. As has been the case in prior years, it is proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support fire prevention and police patrol services. Is there anyone here today that wishes to be heard on this subject? Do we have a sign-up sheet?
We do. I think the testifiers come later in the meeting.
Okay. I'm now closing the hearing to discuss possible uses of state revenue sharing. Casey, would you please come forward and present a summary?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Casey Short, Interim Financial Planning Manager. I am here before you this morning to summarize the changes in the budget from the mayor's proposed budget to what is before you for the approved, largely following from the mayor's memo of May 7th, which included some changes to add to the approved budget from the adopted, largely as a result of additional revenues as the result of higher business license activity in the current year. I will be going through attachments in the change memo that you should have in your packets. B and C, programmatic changes and significant technical adjustments, and then just calling to your attention an additional budget note that's in attachment E. Quickly, then, in attachment B, the programmatic changes suggested for the approved budget are to add $30,000 for the Bureau of Planning to do a Cully community development strategy, add $260,000 and 2.15 FTE for the Bureau of Planning for tree policy and code and the code project, add $100,000 for the Platinum Bicycle Master Plan in transportation, $500,000 in additional one-time support for Burnside Cooch enhancement planning. All of those were included in the memo from the mayor on May 7th. The next three are in the transportation operating fund, involve no general funds. The first is to increase an interagency receiving funds from the Bureau of Environmental Services related to the Southwest Texas Green Street Local Improvement District project. This project is being accelerated. That's why the funds are in 0708. In transportation, convert one limited-term engineer to permanent using development permit revenues. Add one limited-term engineering technician in transportation using development permit revenues. The next two items in transportation are reductions from what was in the proposed budget. Cut the traffic signal capital program by $200,000, moving that to the fund's contingency. And $670,000 reduction in the residential street cleaning program. These cuts are to help transportation sustain its funding over its five-year financial forecast. In Portland Fire and Rescue, 24/7 IT support, general fund dollars, and in Portland Parks and Recreation, reduction of $450,000 that had been in contingency for a capital project at Westmoreland Park, adding the tree project we discussed with planning, additional seasonal labor costs, and other projects, and a few technical adjustments are included in the total here. The next page, there is an addition of $100,000 in discretionary support for the Regional Arts and Culture Council for the Arts Partners Project, $100,000 in support for the Wordstock event, and the last two items are in the Water Bureau, not general fund. First is an interagency with the city attorney's office to increase collections of bad debt accounts, and an additional $479,000 plus some additional technical adjustments of $5,500 for a first floor remodel of the utilities customer service area in the Portland building. Are there any questions on any of those before I move to the next, the technical adjustments?
Yes. The issue of the $670,000 being removed from the residential street cleaning, I don't know if Sue needs to be up here to help on this, but I'm concerned that it appears that this particular cut has not had enough discussion with the employees and the community.
We talked with the affected employees. We had men reserving vacancies in anticipation that we might need to make a reduction if we did not get additional one-time money to cover it or money from another source. So we have positions and have talked with the employees about the fact that we have positions to put them in. No one would be laid off.
When did you talk to the employees?
Last week.
When
we first got the word about the final disposition on one-time money.
But that's what I'm concerned about, is that late in the process, the employees were engaged. I mean, I'm used to having decisions like this be processed beginning at a budget so people see what the alternatives are and work on it real early.
We had a budget process that included labor and outside folks that helped package or come up with the options for cuts.
Well, and we also had our consultants review the cuts for least impact on service level and asset life. So,
and safety.
And safety.
I'm sure you had a great process with the consultants. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about engaging the affected workers early on in the process enough so they understand. Because my understanding is this hit them without them knowing it was going to happen when you talked to them last week.
Well, actually,
first time.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying on that. We did not put in, if you remember, maybe you don't, not any reason that you would pay attention to that, but we did not submit any cut packages initially. We came in actually anticipating that because of the additional one-time money that you'd be able to cover our deficit. So we had not submitted reduction packages at the get-go.
That's my point, is that this landed at the last minute on them.
Correct.
And us, and I'm uncomfortable with this proposal as is as a result.
I guess the other issue is, what is the impact of eliminating street cleaning on BES?
Yep, right. And we looked at
treatment,
that.
Collection, extra cost, how does...
The street sweeping program, residential street sweeping program, is $2.7 million. This reduces the sweeping from 6 to 7 times a year on residential streets to 4 to 5 times a year. And we would selectively be doing those reductions so that we were not impacting water quality. There are particular areas that BES has high concerns about. We're concerned about that too. So it would be selective reduction on those.
But I mean, you can't have a reduction in the service and not have a negative impact. That's why we do the service.
Absolutely. It would be fewer sweeps, but on the water quality is what I'm talking about. We would do
the city doesn't that affect water quality?
There are some places that the what goes into the storm sewer is more important than in other places, because of the impact on water quality.
For instance?
I can't give you the exact streets, but I can certainly provide maps on that. But we're sensitive to separated systems versus the combined systems.
Well, I think that we're going to get a revenue forecast update when?
I don't expect a formal revenue forecast update yet this fiscal year. We're going to see where funds end up at year end, and those any additional funds or lower funds, if that's it, will be available for the council's disposition in the fall bump, which we expect this year to be in October.
Why don't we have an update before the end of the fiscal year? Normally we have, if I recall correctly, we have an update between the approved and the adopted budgets.
I'm happy to do that, but
if I could just ask, get my question answered.
The biggest swing, the most significant shift in, or potential shift, likely shift in revenue, is going to come when we find out the results of all the carryover requests, what then is actually going to be spent in the coming year. It's an ending balance matter as opposed to any new revenues. We're not projecting that any new revenues at this point. Any change in the revenue figures for 07-08 is going to come as a result of a change in fund balance, which we're not going to know until after the end of the fiscal year.
All right.
So what were the priorities that the consultant gave that you relied on to make this particular
cut? Should be least impact on asset life.
No, I understand that. I'm just asking specifically, what were they? What were the recommendations? Did they give you specific recommendations?
They believed that the street sweeping reduction was an appropriate one because it had the least impact on asset life and service condition.
I'm asking what their recommendations were so we can hear what the choices were that were made.
We asked them if this was an appropriate reduction based on the criteria that had been identified for looking at reductions or inclusion in the budget.
I'm being very inarticulate, obviously.
Well, or maybe I am.
Maybe stop and listen to what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, what were the list of options you were given to choose from?
You know, maybe, John, do we have other things that we... Paving. We had a reduction in paving for this level. They did not recommend that. I mean,
did you have a list that you brought with you?
Well, we didn't have small reductions, because to get to the size of reduction that we're talking about here, you've got to make fairly large cuts, and safety was a priority of the office. So we didn't go to the safety reductions.
I get all that. I'm just asking you to read me the list of reductions that you had to choose from.
For the record, John Riss, PDOT Finance. We didn't bring that list with us today. We can provide that list for you. No specifics, but paving was one of the specific items I mentioned.
I'd like to hear the whole list.
Okay.
Couldn't get you the list.
Okay.
But I'm uncomfortable with this proposal until I understand in the context that it was done. And I mean, if it's the appropriate one that was picked in the context of the recommendations, it is. But I'm uncomfortable with the cut. And so I'd want to talk at least about restoring enough money till we get our next financial forecast or whatever it takes to keep the service going. But I'm uncomfortable with the process that, however that you did it, that, I mean, this is not, in my view, what we as a council embrace when we talk about collaboration. I mean, just the last minute saying, oh, by the way, your job's done.
Will be changed, right.
And you start that early on, like in September, with the employees, and you have all the options laid out so nobody gets surprised.
We didn't know, but we did talk about our financial condition with the Labor Management Committee throughout this period from the get-go. But we did not know where we would land until you had made your final decisions.
Until the proposed budget.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, I appreciate Commissioner Leonard's remarks,
I mean,
but we didn't know.
Another side to someone, and I don't want to do that. I'm just saying I'm aware that this could have been better, and there was some knowledge earlier than what the employees knew that this was going to be an alternative, and that's not how we, I think, want to interact. I mean, I think we could work together and find, at least identify further in advance what the inevitable option is going to be than last week.
Well, I think we can always improve. There's no question about that, Commissioner Leonard. In this particular case, the PDOT is the only, for those of you listening that are employees, PDOT is the only budget in the city that's having to cut this year. It has to do, as you know, with the rising cost of doing business, basic materials, health care, and that the proceeds for the gas tax coming from the state are not keeping up with the rising cost of doing basic service. You recall from the auditor's audit that we have collectively been criticized for not putting enough money into preventative maintenance. And so as a result, our infrastructure has been deteriorating. The concern is that the infrastructure deteriorates quicker than it should have. We also have a very dangerous system for the users. Negative cost to the economy, a gruesome number of $440 million a year, a negative cost to the economy. We have a transportation system in crisis. There's no question about it. And I've been down in Salem almost every week lobbying for an increase in the gas tax and the vehicle registration fee. So we have a real problem here. When we asked the consultant if we weren't going to get all the money, where would we cut that did not impact safety, that had the least impact on safety, that had the least impact on the maintaining the asset of the basic system, they gave us a very short list of things, because we have been cutting. You don't need to be told this. We've been cutting for 7 years out of this budget. So we're down to the bone on some things. This will have an impact on BES. This will have an impact on the cleanliness of local streets. But in the scheme of things, this is what the consultant said would have the least impact. And I apologize if this came at you without enough conversation and involvement. I think that's a fair criticism. Understand this is sort of the approach that we made. We asked for the money to fill the gap and still continue to fight for that. we're not in a situation anymore in PDOT where we have choices between good things. We have choices between cutting this or cutting that. It's a hard and difficult process. So we'll try to do better in the future.
But I appreciate that, and you've said that before, and I know that you're working hard to get some money restored, but I looked at everybody's one-time budget request, and I didn't see this on any list, and frankly, had I known about it, I would have put it on my list.
We had it as a gap closer. We originally started...
Gap closer. I'm being very clear, I think. And this specific cut was not itemized on anybody's one-time funds request. I read them all.
No, it came in, I think you're confusing. There's a list of non-Bureau requests. This has been on my list for the closing the gap in PDOT has been on
closing
my...
Closing the gap, we're saying...
Let me finish.
Two different things.
They are, and that's what I'm explaining. Closing the gap in PDOT has been on my list forever. When it came to the one-time money beyond the Bureau requests, those are different lists. So I've been asking to close the gap from the very beginning.
Right. And I've seen that, but I'm saying...
So it was on the list.
Well, this was not on the list. This was, maybe you understood that's what it meant, but I can tell you that most of us here did not understand that this was the implication of closing the budget gap.
When we first started out, the gap was $3.6 million. And by some actions that you took, not the least of them being allocating $1.2 million for covering some of the street lighting costs that's carried by transportation, that lowered the gap. In addition to that, you authorized the increasing of our overhead to the full cost recovery. That lowered the amount. Healthcare cost renewal came in somewhat lower than had been anticipated. That dropped our gap by $200,000. So we whittled away at it, and it ultimately came in at the $870,000 versus the $3.6
million. I'm trying to send you guys a message here that I think is a good one. I would hope you would seize, which is I was not aware of this proposal. I don't think others were aware of this proposal, and we're willing to do something to try to fix it.
So there, it doesn't sound like from Casey that we're going to get any update in the revenue between now and the end of the fiscal year, which would allow us to close the gap, and I appreciate your desire to do that. We can get back to council with a list of options, and I think we can, I think we're allowed between the approved and the adopted to make amendments.
Yes.
So I think we can also engage our labor partners between now and the next couple of weeks in the report and the options that came forward for closing it, so we can work the track of if there was more money. And I would entertain I would move that if there's more one-time money that we use it to close a $670 million gap.
$670,000.
Wishful thinking. We use that, and I move that we do that as part of approving this budget, and then on the second track that we engage our labor partners in the dye management consultants report and the options for cutting in case that money does not come forward.
And I would second that, but I would also add that if there wasn't the, I want to look at some of what you looked at to be able to make sure that I feel comfortable that whatever option you chose.
Well, of course, the end of working with our labor folks would be coming back to you and the rest of council with the options.
Let me, just so I'm clear on what you want,
Let me finish my whole sentence. I want to look at what you looked at, but assuming that we all agreed that those were the appropriate priorities, and assuming that the one-time money didn't increase beyond what's been projected already, I would be open to whatever one-time monies we have recognized but not identified for any specific program supporting restoring this program with.
So is that different than what I just said?
Yes.
How?
Well, you're saying if there's one-time money that we become aware of that we aren't now, we should dedicate. I'm saying even if that happens, I would be open to taking money that we've up to now identified for reserves and putting it in.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that.
So do you want us to bring back what we looked at
yes.
very quickly
yes.
or to talk with labor about other alternatives? Or
I think
simultaneous. I'd like to get the report. I'd like to look at it so I
can.
Fine. We can do both simultaneous.
But if in our conversations with labor they come up with better ideas, then I'd like council to consider those as well.
Okay.
So how do we amend the
Well,
budget?
I have to read into the language. I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the budget as amended in attachments B, C, D, and E.
If I might, Mr. Mayor, members of council, I still have some other things I'd like to go over with you.
Okay.
I went through the first item, which was the programmatic changes, and we have a number of significant technical changes being proposed that I just want to make sure you're aware of. This is in attachment C. The Bureau of Environmental Services, this is related to the Southwest Texas Green Street LID I spoke of a few moments ago. We're increasing the budgeted amount in the Convention and Tourism Fund to cover the possibility that hotel-motel taxes would come in higher, so we would be able to transfer the charter-mandated amount to the Portland, Oregon Visitors Association. Facility Services Operating Fund is increased by a large amount, almost $10.5 million. This is just a matter of moving money among where it's budgeted in the different funds for the archives project. You'll see this also in the Governmental Bond Redemption Fund and the Special Finance and Resource Fund in a moment. Facilities also has the $479,000 for the first floor remodel at the Portland building that I mentioned. Federal Grants Fund is recognizing additional grants for parks projects. The general fund contingency is being increased by $1.1 million. This is the result of the update of the business license forecast for the current year, which will result in an additional ending balance that we feel is the $2 million is an amount we're pretty confident of. The council, through its discussions and as outlined in the mayor's memo of May 7th, has $900,000 of that money committed and going forward in the approved budget, assuming you approve it. So there is that additional $1.1 million in contingency that's available, making the contingency unreserved this year $3.8 million. There's a commensurate reduction with the parks shift that I talked about earlier as well.
In addition to our reserve fund?
It's in addition to the contingency, which is money that's available for the council to spend as the year goes on.
And so how do you identify the fund that's 10% of our general fund budget?
That's the general reserve fund, which is a separate fund and has all the money in it that it's supposed to have.
Yes. And so this is a separate.
This is part of the general fund in the contingency. It's money that can be spent by the council or.
And the amount is 3.6.
The total amount is $3.8 million. The increase that is coming as a result of these actions is $1.1 million net.
In addition to that, 3.8?
No, it makes it 3.8. It was 2.7.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
It's right here on the page, and that's why I wanted to make a point of telling you about it, Commissioner.
There you go, right there.
Well, that just took care of that.
To finish with the very exciting parts of the rest of the technical adjustments, Governmental Bond Redemption Fund change, back to the archives project I spoke of before. Parks Construction and Major Maintenance Fund is carrying over almost $3 million for projects that haven't been completed, and they'd like to have the money available on July 1st and not wait for the bump. That's why we're putting it in the budget instead of just putting it in the ending balance and carrying it over. Adjustments to capital projects funded through the parks levy. This is discussed under the local option levy. I'll get to that in a second. The third one is $416,000 in parks for new projects funded with grants that I spoke of with the Federal Grants Fund. Parks local option levy, the largest part of this is to increase the budget for the East Portland Community Center pool. It was expected that these funds would be encumbered by the end of fiscal 06-07, but the project isn't that far along, so they're asking to have this added to the budget for 07-08. Last three items in this category, Printing and Distribution Operating Fund, reducing its revenues largely by recognizing reductions in non-city business. The Special Finance and Resource Fund, again, the Archives Project, moving to facilities, and finally, a transfer to technology services from the General Fund to do the 24/7 IT support for the Fire Bureau. In addition to all the programmatic and technical changes I've just discussed, I'd like to call to the council's attention one additional budget note that affects three bureaus, and that is on Green Street's policy for BES, the Water Bureau, and Transportation, directing those three bureaus develop estimated percent for green contributions for 07-08 and bring that to the council, have it ready for the council and the fall bump by October. Are there any other questions? I'd be happy to answer them at this point.
So do you have a, on the reserves, can I, do you have a piece of paper there that you read from?
I have.
Do you have a summary of all the various kinds of contingencies and reserves we have, just so I'm clear?
Not on any of these pieces of paper, Commissioner, but it's in the budget, and what would you like?
Can you quickly just summarize the 3.8 is a contingency on top of our, is that our annual contingency?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That is the unreserved amount, not spoken for something else in the general fund.
Is there anywhere in the constellation of the city bureaucracy that is general fund, unexpended, reserve-like pools of money?
Other than the general reserve fund, no.
Okay. Other than the general reserve fund and the contingency fund, there isn't any unexpended contingency-like funds from past years that have not
It's all been incorporated into the projections for 07-08.
Thank you.
Questions? I'd like to entertain a motion to a, did you have a question, Dan?
No, I'm just following the script here, too, so I
Okay.
There's a script? I didn't get the script.
Yeah, you're off script.
I apologize. I'm
you
off
have
script.
It.
Oh, I understand it right. We make the motion to approve the budget, but that also, during the discussion, amendments
then,
can then be offered.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then I would make a motion to approve the budget
second.
As amended.
But
in the
I have to read it for the record.
Oh, sir. Okay.
You're off script.
I'm off script. Okay. Yeah.
I would like to entertain a motion to approve the budget as amended in attachments B, C, D, and E to the memo, approval of the budget for the City of Portland.
I would make that motion.
Your second?
Second.
Okay, discussion.
I have three amendments that I would wish to offer at this point.
Okay.
So I first want to start out by saying I want to thank Mayor Potter and my colleagues on the council and our five citizen advisors for all the time and effort that has gone into the budget before us today. And I think the proposed budget represents many hours of hard work by us, our offices, and our bureaus. I would, however, like to offer three amendments, which I believe reflect important investments in the safety and well-being of our citizens. And I'll introduce each one of these amendments separately. The first amendment is to change the domestic violence advocates funding from one-time to ongoing funding. So I guess I'll make that motion before I, or I can give my rationale first.
And I committed to Commissioner Salzman yesterday to second these for purposes of discussion. And so I second.
Thanks. The domestic violence advocates in the Portland Police Bureau, I believe, should be funded with one-time or ongoing funds instead of one-time funding. Last year, during lean times, leaner times certainly than we have this year, the council did step forward committing $50,000 in ongoing funding for one of the advocates. And we all agreed at that time that in the next budget we would make those remaining positions ongoing as well. So this is the opportunity, I believe, to follow up on that commitment that we made last year. The domestic violence advocates are an essential part of the Portland Police Bureau's response to domestic violence. Each month, the Domestic Violence Reduction Unit at the Police Bureau reviews 500 to 700 cases. These victim advocates work as a team with the police. They review and select the cases. They make contacts with abuse survivors, conduct detailed interviews, assess enforcement options, and offer advocacy services. The advocates help victims plan for their safety, as victims who attempt to leave their abusers are 75% more likely to be severely beaten or killed than if they stay with the abuser. The advocates provide information and referral, assisting with problem solving, providing transportation, accompanying to court hearings, facilitating access to other social services, and providing emotional support. I've witnessed a small portion of the advocate's job when the advocates literally hold women's hands as they face their abusers in courtrooms and retell the horrific stories of their abuse. The experience of reliving the abuse and the humiliation of having to do so in an open courtroom is an experience that no one should have to endure without the support that these advocates provide. It is for this reason, and because, unfortunately, domestic violence is not a one-time problem. It is an ongoing problem which ravages children, women, and families in our community. And therefore, I feel that we should step up now and make that commitment. These positions will remain in the Police Bureau on an ongoing basis in perpetuity. And I urge your support.
Well, maybe I can explain my comment earlier about this discussion to agree to second this for the purposes of us having this talk today. As the council knows, and as I explained to Commissioner Saltzman, my first instinct would be to support these proposals. Unfortunately, they're coming in the context of some pretty hard-edged negotiations with Multnomah County over basic services they provide that may not appear on the surface to be related to these issues, but I believe deeply are. So a proposal by them to cut treatment programs for people who are abusing drugs and alcohol leads me to conclude that there will be more untreated drug and alcohol abusers in the community, which are directly tied to domestic violence incidents. So given that we don't know how that's going to play out yet, my reaction to this is not that I don't support it, but that it's just premature in that context until we know what obligation, if any, we may have with the county if they actually follow through on their statements that they'll withdraw, they're going to shut down some of those programs.
You know, and part of this also is just the fact that we have three times the amount of money in one time as we do in ongoing. And part of that was due because we put the $2.7 million out of ongoing aside for attenuating the parks levy. So we just don't have that kind of flexibility in the ongoing as we do in one time.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate that point. I appreciate Commissioner Leonard's point. I guess I would return. This is $100,000 in ongoing money that would convert from one time to ongoing. These are positions that have historically always been city-funded positions. So, you know, I understand the points about the larger discussions about the county and the city, but these are positions that are performing vital services day in and day out right now. They've always been within the Police Bureau. And I think that it's important, as we did make a commitment last year, that we would make these into ongoing positions. And I think it's, you know, that was leaner times last year. I believe, you know, that we can find the $100,000 in ongoing if we make the commitment today, certainly before we adopt our budget on June 21st.
7th.
27th. I believe that we can find the $100,000 in additional ongoing to both fulfill the promise that we made last year to ourselves and to the advocates and to the domestic violence victims in our community.
Well, I know Mayor Potter has recommended to the Chair Wheeler that after we get over this hump, there be an ongoing discussion at our level with the County Commission on basically revisiting Resolution A to decide what is an appropriate alignment of services for the city and the county, because that Resolution A, I think most of us agree, doesn't even really apply anymore given some of what we fund now and some of what the county does now in terms of law enforcement that maybe they shouldn't. And Mayor Potter's recommendation, which I heartily support, is to sit down July 1st with the county at our level and talk about a realignment of services. And I actually think that your idea should be part of that discussion about the kinds of services the Police Bureau provides. But I guess I'm just a little hesitant at this point to make a commitment to dollars with all of these various issues that affect that same population of people out there in question and in limbo. And I would want to look at the services cut and then put this proposal in that group of services to see which is the most appropriate to be funded. Because, frankly, if I think you might agree with this, that if the choice was to fund this position or to provide treatment for offenders, I think treating the offenders with drug and alcohol treatment ends up having the effect that you want, reducing domestic violence and making a person productive. And that's the choice that we have right now.
Well, I agree. We want treatment for offenders, too. But, you know, no amount of treatment is going to do away with the fact that domestic violence is an ongoing problem.
Right.
And that these victim advocates perform essential roles day in and day out,
right,
helping the victims, helping the police, reviewing, as I said, 500 to 700 cases a year. So, I mean, as much as I'd like to say, I could honestly believe that somehow some amount of treatment is going to make that problem go away. I don't believe that. There's always going to be a residual
on that.
That's why I believe we should.
Chief Sizer is here. Did you want to have the chief comment on this? Could you come forward, Chief?
Good morning.
Good morning.
In our budget request, the Police Bureau requested ongoing funding for the domestic violence advocates. We would love to have it. However, I would advocate against taking the money from unfilled sworn positions because we're trying to hire up on police officers to get to full staffing. Just in the way of clarification, previous to last year, the domestic violence advocate positions were grant funded. To my knowledge, they were not funded by the county, but funded by federal grants.
Right, and that's why we made a commitment last year, because the grant ran out. So we made a commitment last year to fund one of them ongoing, and then this year to make the others ongoing.
So just to be clear, I wasn't suggesting that that's money that's wrapped up with what the county provides, but rather just completely separately on the list of services they do provide. As you probably are aware, they're threatening to cut off some pretty vital services that will have a direct impact on the Police Bureau, on domestic violence, on drug dealing, on the success we've had with Project 57. All of that's threatened right now, given this environment with the county. And I guess, you know, just so you understand from my perspective, I agree with everything Commissioner Saltzman said, but on those list of services that are about to be cut, I'm not sure it would be the first thing I would fund from the city if we were dealing with increased amounts of drug and alcohol abusers who didn't get treatment. And if we had to close our Project 57, which has been successful, which is something under discussion to fund some of those other services. I just think we need to have this discussion in that bigger context.
And I'm not necessarily suggesting, although you kind of leaped to the fact that this money would come at the expense of vacancies for officers, and I guess I'm not accepting necessarily that that's where it has to come from, but I do believe we can find 100. I think, you know, if the council makes the commitment between now and June 27th, we can find $100,000 in ongoing to make this happen and fulfill a commitment we did make last year.
And I told Commissioner Saltzman, if that, in fact, this discussion that we're having with the county plays out positively, I would support that at that time. But I think for myself, I need to know better what the lay of the land is there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Further discussion? Call the vote, Sim.
Adams.
I'm very supportive of this. Very supportive of this program. We'll continue to seek to protect it and fund it, but at this time, I'm going to vote against this motion to continue its funding on a one-time basis, given some of the arguments and concerns expressed during the discussion today. Move me to have this as part of the consideration of our financial relationship and service relationship with the county. No.
Leonard.
No.
Saltzman.
I'm voting aye. I appreciate the discussion about talking about things with the county, but I don't think we need to really get this mixed up in that ether. This is a very specific service that serves victims well and their families, and I think we need to keep our eye on the prize here and keep those advocates here in perpetuity. So as I said, I vote aye.
Potter.
Well, there is funding for this. It's just whether it's ongoing or one time. And I think at this point,